Starting the Day the Right Way with Kelly O'Connell and AM Las Cruces on KOPE.
Is God clearing the way for a Cruz presidency? Ted Cruz's John the Baptist, a.k.a. Glenn Beck, is now suggesting God killed Scalia to help Cruz get into the White House by showing Americans how important one man can be in the United States for liberty. Is Glenn Beck nuts? Is he a prophet? It's not clear why Beck seems to consider himself America's premier Christian, when his Mormon faith seems to lack many elements of the ideas and principles that he is calling out and invoking for his friend Ted Cruz's campaign. Now, Ted Cruz believes in dominionism. What is it? His father believes that his son has been destined for greatness. Father Rafael Cruz is a survivor of an early life in Cuba and an advocate of dominion theology, and he's got a ministry in the United States. He's a preacher. He's a traveling preacher. What is dominion theology? A working definition of dominionism is the belief that we mankind have the mandate to build, quote, the kingdom of God on earth, restoring paradise by progressively and supernaturally transforming ourselves and all societal institutions through subduing and ruling the earth by whatever means possible, including using technology, science, and psychosocial engineering. And then, and only then, will a Christ manifest his presence on earth. And I got this this definition from uprising.org, which is a ministry. So what will a Ted Cruz presidency look like? Will it save the world or end it? Could it be true, or is it sheer heresy or some sort of curious combination? Stay tuned, sports fans. All right, I decided to focus on this in the risk of stepping on listeners' toes, even my own toes, a little bit, because I'm sure people that are believers want some level of Christian influence on the government. Obviously, the claim is out there that we've lost a moral and a logical government for the United States, and that the people that have taken over are, like Obama, appears to be some sort of an atheist or whatever, doesn't go to church, or he's the different claims on Obama. You can list him. He's an atheist. He's a Christian. He's a Muslim. He's a Marxist. Seven years into his reign, there are 25% of all Americans, including a significant portion of Democrats, who believe that the president is a Muslim. Others believe he's a kind of a radical atheist. But anyway, whatever he happens to believe deep down, it's just an example of why Christians, and I think that a significant number of unbelievers feel uncomfortable with the direction that this government is heading and are looking for some direction from institutions like the church. Now, dominion theology is a big claim. Here's another definition for you, and this is from End Time Pilgrim. And all of these claims by these different churches and websites may not be true, technically till the last claim, but they kind of sum up where the idea is coming from. Dominion theology is a utopian ideal. It is a belief that this world can and must be conquered for Christ by militant action undertaken by the Christian church. Get a good sense of what is happening in the established church today. See the article Dominionism and the Rise of Christian Imperialism. Dominion theology incorporates a crusader mindset. It teaches that our Christian duty is to take over the world in a political sense, and if necessary, in a military sense in order to impose biblical rule. Christ will not return, they say, until the church has risen up and taken dominion over all the world's governments and institutions. All right. Interestingly enough, the founders, who were to a large extent Congregationalist Christians, the very earliest Christians to come to America, the earliest people to come to America were mostly Christian. They were influenced by they were Congregationalist, which means that they rejected the Church of Rome and the Church of England model of vertical leadership. They accepted this idea that it should be leadership by elders, and so that influenced their idea of government, how government should be run, not by a king, and not by, well, the idea of the president wasn't even being thrown around then, but not by a king, but by what later becomes American democracy, which then becomes the model for the world, as in so many other things America has come up with. So you've got these people are trying, what they're trying to do is make, they're coming to America, and if you've ever heard the term New Jerusalem thrown around, we're going to make a New Jerusalem here. The idea was that we were going to make, the earliest people that came here were going to make a country, and these earliest people were called pilgrims, right? And then you've got the Puritan pilgrims, and then Puritans, and then everybody else who shows up later. They were going to make a place so good, so, you know, well organized and so Christian and godly and everything, that it was going to give Christ a place to come. And this is what you call post-millennialism, I believe, is that Christ comes, pre-millennialism. I'll have to go look up these terms, but premillennialism, that this thousand year reign of Christ comes. Well, anyway, I suddenly hit a vapor lock on that, so I don't want to put out the wrong term, but I believe that's premillennialism. Anyway, it's the idea that you make the world as perfect as possible so that Christ has a place to come. All right. That's very, very similar to this dominionism. And I find it kind of fascinating that what is old is new, if you see what I mean. Now, I've got for you a little bit of a clip here. And by the way, it's the 18th of February, and it's lovely weather outside, by the way. Didn't need a heater last night, I'll tell you that. And 51 degrees out, so we're getting up there, folks. Your long period in the desert, so to speak, of winter is over, put it in more biblical terms. But I find this whole thing interesting because this is, you know, one of the top two candidates here is, you know, it's our buddy Ted Cruz and Donna's hero. And I think that there is a significant chance that this guy, Ted Cruz, is going to get in, and what he believes is dominion theology. I mean, they believe that they're supposed to be taking over. And I was thinking about this. What is the difference between, let's say for the sake of the argument, what is the difference between the and spend time like I did there. I lived there for years when I was working as a I was working at a law school as an academic writer, and that you run into these Cuban people, and they are the most patriotic and anti-communist, anti-leftist people that you will ever see. You know, and it's kind of interesting. Some of my closest friends when I was there were Cubans, but that, you know, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's over the top. What I want to say is these people have actually experienced what all these leftists in America want to do, and they don't want any part of it. They've seen it in action. So I tend to take their opinion seriously. But the Dominion theology is kind of fascinating. Let me play something from Glenn Beck for you, though. A little background music first. All right, so a little bit of Twilight Zone music. Now listen to this. There is this this clip from Glenn Beck. I'm telling you that Glenn Beck is a weird guy. And I will guarantee you, if you went up and talked to your Mormon friends, they would tell you that probably a lot of people in the Mormon church are very, I would think, probably confused by the guy. And some of them certainly would not consider him to be a Mormon. And others who were, you may be more educated on Mormon beliefs, would say that, you know, his beliefs are way outside of Mormon theology, which I think is probably fairly accurate idea. I've got a little bit of trouble here with this clip, but let's see if I can pull it up right here. It appears to be working, folks. It looks like we're going to have contact here. All right, here we go. There is some sort of a conversation in which Glenn Beck on his show, he's calling into. But if you listen, what you're going to hear Glenn Beck say is that God killed Scalia, or he's going to imply in kind of a second person. He's like, he's talking for a moment in the voice of God, saying that I removed this guy to get your attention to show you how close we are to losing liberty in America.
I just, you know, I was listening to you guys, and I just wanted to say, Pat, I think an answer for you on that, because I did the same thing. I first thought,
what?
Okay, God, thanks. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you for that. And then I said the same thing. I remembered it was exactly the same thing that I felt when Sandy hit. And I remember we were trying to go up and help campaign.
And we thought the same thing then.
For Mitt Romney. Remember that?
Yep.
And Sandy hit, and we couldn't go up. We couldn't get any flights up. And and then, you know, they were walking on the beach like two lovers. And I thought to myself, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. What is your plan?
Yeah.
Talking right there, when he saw Chris Christie walking like hand in hand, or, you know, walking arm in arm with Obama when Sandy hit, and that Glenn Beck is claiming right there that showed him that Chris Christie was not God's man.
So I don't want to assume that I know his plan, but I will tell you this. I thought when this happened, after I got past the thank you,
he's talking about when Scalia dies.
I thought, you're welcome. I just woke the American people up.
All right. So right there, he's saying that God woke up the American people by allowing Scalia to die so that they could understand how close we are to losing our liberty, because we lose one man off the Supreme Court. Losing one man in America means we could lose our liberty. This is the claim that Glenn Beck is making.
I took them out of the game show moment.
Americans are in a game show moment. We are totally transfixed by what's going on around us. We're not paying attention. And God kills Scalia to get our attention.
And woke enough of them up to say, look at how close your liberty is to being lost. You now have lost your liberty. You replace one guy, and you now have 5-4 decisions in the other direction. And
every time,
just with this one guy, you've lost your liberty. So you better elect somebody that's going to put somebody on, because for the next 30 years, if you don't, the Constitution, as you know it, Pat, you and I have said this for a long time, the Constitution is hanging by a thread.
Yep.
That thread has just been cut. And the only way that we survive now is if we have a true constitutionalist.
All right, so Ted Cruz is not just backing a candidate. It's kind of like listening to Donna. He's not just backing a candidate. This guy was sent by God to save America. Now, you probably or might possibly find that crazy. I don't want to say that it sounds crazy, because I'm sure that many Christians, perhaps including myself, might say certain people were sent in history to influence mankind, or to Reagan, Churchill, not Alexander the Great, of course, but being a great pagan, but Charlemagne, Charles the Great, and Henry the Great, or Hank the Great, and what's his name in Britain, especially Charlemagne and came and he had a Christian mission, and he becomes like the Christian example of what a good king should be for the rest of history. I mean, that's how powerful and influential his reign was. And you can trace back to Charlemagne, this idea of conquer or die from these tribes around him, and he was very interested in education. And he was the first person to put together, like, say, public education for youngsters out of the he used the cathedral schools to do that, which then becomes like the foundation for the university system. But extraordinarily important leader. So, most people who are Christians would look at that and say, obviously, that was God's man for the time. But is Cruz God's man, and is Dominion theology have any truth in it? We got a phone call here. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Sharon.
Hey, Sharon, what's up?
Well, first of all, I think I've already mentioned, although you got lots of callers, I'm a huge Cruz fan.
Okay.
I'm also a huge Beck fan.
I'm also
a Christian, so.
All right. Okay, but let me ask you this. It seems like we're getting very close to almost, it almost sounds a little bit crazy that Glenn Beck, who is a Mormon, is interpreting for God for Protestant people. I mean, it just, the theological implications are stunning, and it just seems like Glenn Beck sees himself as almost a John the Baptist here.
Well, I actually, I actually heard him make that statement that you're. That
what do you think of it? What did you think of it?
Well, I think that God does work in this world. First of all, I would never presume to know what God was actually thinking or doing. I don't think. I think he acts in all of our lives. And to give you an idea of how I viewed that clip is, I'm on my way out to Albuquerque and stopped by Starbucks, and my eyes were really bothering me as I was getting on the highway, and I went to look to get my eye drops and realized I don't even have my purse, and I'm on my way out to Albuquerque. And so I said, thanks, God. It was like my eyes are hurting me. And so you can say that's crazy. But
No, wait a second. Wait a second. Wait a minute. But, hold on a second. I gotta put in a little bit here to, I think, represent some of the audience's opinion and mine. There's apples and oranges difference to say, like, I'm hungry and I'm walking down the road, walking down the trail, and I tripped over a banana as opposed to a banana peel, and I picked up the banana and ate it. I don't think most people who are religious have a problem with that, but these are very specific and highly, highly. I mean, this is way up there on the level of claims.
Well, he's also looking at it from a historical point of view.
Who's he?
I don't get my religious theology from him, and I also don't think that I would hope that most people realize that our president should not be creating a religious society.
That's what they want to do. But let me ask you one thing here, and this you know, this is not to be offensive to Mormons out there, because I do know that we do have a fair number of Mormons who listen to the show, but from a Protestant position, Mormonism is not Christian. How would, this is just a theological mm-hmm. question within the context of biblical mm-hmm. Christianity. How mm-hmm. would Glenn Beck come along and be the prophet Ted Cruz if he's not even plugged into a real religion? That's the, you know, if that's a Protestant sure. theological approach.
Yeah, I have some friends that say that too. And you know, again,
what's the answer,
Ted
though?
Cruz is,
what is the answer to that?
Well, I think God uses all kinds of people for all kinds of things.
All right.
You know, honestly,
that may be true, but doesn't answer the question. Okay, the claim that Beck is making is basically, uh-huh. if you listen to the Beck, he is basically a John the Baptist for Ted Cruz to get into office. But according to...
He certainly is backing
him. Yeah, uh-huh. Not just backing him, but he's making... You understand he's making major theological claims about this guy that are influencing people, and yet his theological mm-hmm. background is so different that many people who are Protestant and Catholic would say he's not even a Christian. So how would he be accessing God? I just find the whole thing so fascinating. I can barely get my mind around it.
Well, I guess I don't get into whether he is saved or not saved, which is basically what you're saying. That would be requiring me to judge whatever
he talks about Jesus and his Savior, and I studied Mormonism.
Well, yeah,
Sharon, listen to me. Hold on
that
a second.
Is what you're saying.
Oh, no, it is not what I am saying, and I'd appreciate it if you didn't squeeze those words into my mouth. I already have enough words in there. I'm taking a broader look at this. I'm going off of what people claim. I'm not trying to judge mm-hmm. anybody, which is a perilous activity, which is why I can't sit here and say what I almost called him Islam, what Obama believes.
Right.
But
hold on a second.
Beck says he believes a certain set of doctrines which are transparently not part of the Protestant canon and scripture of Christianity. So it's Beck himself
right.
who's taking the stand. I'm not judging anybody here.
Yeah. No, and he is. He's trying to pull the Christian, conservative Christian principles and people who believe those principles and aligning them with Ted Cruz and his principles. And now, would you agree with that?
Yeah, but I mean,
how is it that
Glenn Beck becomes like the most prominent Christian? He's like on this prophetic journey, you know?
You know what puzzles me more than that, and you could certainly make the claim that I'm, you know, a little blind to my favorite. But what really gets me is Liberty University guys, the Jerry Falwell guys endorsing Trump.
Yeah.
To me, I don't even get that.
Well,
so,
do you remember,
Kelly, this is just crazy.
Sharon, you remember when I had the show and I asked, it was preliminary days, it was early days, and I said, would you choose a person as, you know, there's 70% of Americans claim to be Christian. Would you, mm-hmm. Those people in that group, choose a leader who claimed to be a Christian, who appeared to be Christian, who didn't have any leadership skills and maybe not a lot of leadership qualities, or would you choose another person who was sympathetic and supported Christianity, who didn't appear to be born again, if that person appeared to be a better leader? I threw it out there to people.
And I would answer to you, that's how we got Jimmy Carter.
And Jimmy Carter was terrible. And Jimmy Carter
just
had a miracle of, he got cancer and he got cured like 2 weeks later. I've never seen anything like it.
But that's,
it's like
that's
a
how
cockroach.
We got Jimmy Carter. And so my answer is no, I would not.
All right, so that's where Liberty University is coming from. I got to take a break. You can stay on the line and come back with me. Or do you want to sum it up?
No, I just think God actually does work in this world, and I think he put Obama on the throne because he tells us he puts the rulers on the throne and he takes them off, and you know we do the best we can. I don't know, maybe that's prophetic, maybe that's dominion, I don't know, but so I do my best and I vote you know, the way I feel like I should for this country and for me. So there you go.
All right, Sharon. I'm not sure you cleared everything up, but thanks for the call.
Sure.
Okay. Bye. All right, folks, we'll take a break here. The windmills of your mind. Maybe this is a look inside of Glenn Beck's. All right. This machine froze up on me while I was blabbing. 640 Kelly O'Connell AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE 523-1450. We'll be right back.
Now get the local buzz. News from Las Cruces and the region on KOBE AM 1450.
State lawmakers agreed on a 2017 spending plan yesterday after approving a measure to use millions of unspent dollars from dozens of state accounts to offset lower projected revenues. The $6.2 billion budget cuts about 2% of spending from most state agencies, with higher reductions for community colleges and universities. The state will spend $2.75 billion for public education, an increase of about $7 million. Spending on Medicaid would reach $928 million, and the Department of Corrections and Public Safety would receive small increases. Las Cruces Crime Stoppers is now offering a $1,000 cash reward for information that helps lead to the arrest of the home care worker suspected of swindling $11,000 from an 85-year-old client. Christina M. Mendez is charged with one count of forgery. Detectives say Mendez turned an $11 check into an $11,000 check and deposited the money into her account. Mendez is Hispanic, 5'1", and weighs 155 pounds. She has brown hair and brown eyes. Anyone with information on her whereabouts is asked to call Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-TIPS. 17-year-olds would be able to vote in primary elections under a bill sent to Governor Susana Martinez. The measure would allow 17-year-olds to vote in the primary if they will turn 18 before the general election. Las Cruces Representative Jeff Steinborn has sponsored the bill for the last 3 years. Senator Mark Morris says the state constitution actually is so outdated that it lists the voting age as 21. 18-year-olds have been voting in New Mexico for more than 40 years. The Pope addressed over 250,000 people yesterday during his mass that was part of his visit to Juarez. About 28,000 people in El Paso's Sun Bowl watched the televised mass staged by the El Paso Diocese. The Pope highlighted the troubles of immigrants from Central America and Mexico who flee their homes because of violence and face dangers along their journeys. The Pope also blessed El Paso, refugees, and others at a border levee near the Juarez mass site earlier in the day. The Pope flew in at 10 a.m. yesterday and left following the mass in the evening. For the Bravo Mike Radio Network, I'm Vanessa Dabovich.
I always say plan it forward. Hello, Las Cruces and surrounding areas. My name is Michelle Lombarski with Estrada Law PC. I help your family protect their assets. My services include estate planning, will and trust, probate avoidance, and Medicaid planning, and so much more. Let me tell you why I do what I do. It's personal. My father was newly retired, and he and my mother were ready to see the world. My father developed dementia at a very young age, and his health rapidly deteriorated. They visited one Thanksgiving, and they never left. Dad needed so much care, and my mother was exhausted. This was a true crisis moment. I was frightened and desperate. We hit the Medicaid donut hole paying for his medication out of their retirement funds. There has to be a better way, and that's when I learned there is a better way. I want to make sure that you plan it forward so you and your family won't do crisis planning. Give me a call at 556-2462, and for more information, log on to EstradaLawPC.com.
It's time again for the largest Spring Festival in southern New Mexico. Spring Festival is for 12 festivals. Bring up your friends and for local attractions and free Easter egg hunts. That happens at Gun Park on March 26th. If you have a chance to pay your host, you can see the whole festival and enjoy something. You're looking at the movie at large. Come to the Spring Festival on 5-7-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-
On KOBE, there's no better place to be.
All right, so I'm going to get into this little, I got a little interview with the dad of Cruz, but I first want to get a few headlines for you. A tightening race rattles Clinton. Clinton and Sanders are neck and neck. If she loses Nevada, feces will hit the fan, but substitute another word there. Bernie has edge in general election. And Hillary drama, Prism, misspelled. You know, it's interesting on this website, they misspell stuff. prism glasses back on after coughing, seizure, double vision. So I'm going to do a show tomorrow on Hillary's health that I've been getting ready for a little while. Moody's Financial says there is pain ahead for the global economy. In the last, say, 10 years, we've never been in a place where we could say that we were completely outside of a recession, a danger. It's kind of been interesting. Kanye West has a Saturday Night Live meltdown. The guy's $58 million in the hole. He used to be worth $100 million, and I believe that his wife is thinking about leaving him. She probably couldn't believe it when he admitted that he was so far in the hole. But anyway, you know what kind of a girl Kim Kardashian is. All right, here is his. She's not a lady. Father of Ted Cruz, Rafael Cruz, talks to Pat Robertson. Check this out. Very, very interesting conversation.
Presidential candidate Senator Ted Cruz points to his dad, Rafael, as his hero. He's also the one who taught him early in life the concept of limited government comes straight from the Bible. And now this Cuban immigrant has a message for America. Take a look.
He was born in Cuba in 1939. As a teenager, Rafael Cruz faced prison and torture fighting against the brutal Batista dictatorship. After his release, he convinced the government to allow him to leave Cuba for America on a college scholarship. He left with only $100 sewn into his underwear by his mother. Once in America, Cruz worked hard, started a family, and most important, gave his life to Christ. As a church pastor, Cruz became involved with the Religious Roundtable organization, mobilizing Christians to elect Ronald Reagan. Young Ted took it all in, and like his father before him, chose a career path that would fuse faith and politics. Now, nearly 60 years after coming to America, Cruz issues a wake-up call to the country he loves. In his new book, A Time for Action, he delivers a message to people of faith. Step up, enter the public arena, and take on the forces threatening the guiding principles that made America great.
All right, we've got an interview here, but let's take a little break first. And I got behind on that conversation with Sharon. 647 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523, 1450. We'll be right back. Got a little weather for you.
Like a tunnel you can follow to a tunnel of its own, down a hollow to a cavern where the sun has never shone, like a door that keeps revolving in a house of dreams, or the ripples from a pebble someone tosses in a stream.
Here's your Las Cruces and Southern New Mexico forecast on AM 1450 KOBE.
In today's weather forecast, mostly sunny skies. High should hit about 80 today. A little breezy this afternoon. Winds out of the south, gusts around 20 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Our low will be down to 48 with some light southwest winds throughout the night. And Friday, we're looking at a partly sunny day, high of around 79 degrees. That's the buzz on weather on KOBE 1450.
Barack Obama will be gone in 10 months, and so will his air conditioning incentives. One-hour ARLC guarantees the incentive if you buy now. With no money down and no payments for 90 days, waiting longer just means you'll pay higher prices as it gets warmer. One-hour ARLC can install a MasterCool for just $800 net and refrigerated air conversions for under $2,000. You've seen their yellow trucks all over town and know that one-hour ARLC provides superior service. The team is drug-free, background-checked, and they wear shoe covers to keep your floor clean. One-hour ARLC has the best technicians who always clean up after themselves and are guaranteed to be on time. Call today, 575-650-1075, or log on to One-Hour ARLC before Obama and his incentives are gone. One-Hour ARLC guarantees MasterCools for $800 net in February and refrigerated air replacement with a new furnace for under $2,000. Complete refrigerated air for under $2,000. Now that's cool. OAC license number 38200.
Are you putting your money into an IRA, pension, or 401k? Then I hope you're prepared to lose 30, 40, 50% or more of your retirement savings. Because it's not a question of if the market crashes again. It's a question of when. It's going to happen. Did you know there is a way you can protect and grow your wealth safely and predictably every single year? The people using this approach didn't lose a penny when the market crashed in 2000 or 2008, and they won't lose a penny in the next crash. In fact, their money will continue to grow safely year in and year out, even when stocks, real estate, and other investments tumble. A free report detailing this savings program is now available. This free report shows how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your retirement in the Wall Street casino. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement. It far outperforms any IRA or 401k. To get this free report, visit bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com. Bankonyourself.com.
Visit Las Cruces Spanish Market at Hotel Encanto Saturday, February 20th and Sunday, February 21st. Spanish Market features art by New Mexican Hispanic artists and live performance and demonstrations. Enjoy all different mediums of traditional Spanish art, including retablos, jewelry, bultos, straw and tin work, weaving, furniture, and much more. Spanish Market represents 400 years of Hispanic artistry in New Mexico. Works are an authentic expression of history, unlike mass-produced tourist material that can be found elsewhere. Find out more at www.spanishcolonial.org.
Being number one is pretty cool, but being number one, two, and three, that's what you get at the Borman Autoplex of Las Cruces, where you find the three top-selling dealerships in one place. It's easy to see why. Customers love Autoplex one-price, no-hassle pricing, with all the factory and dealer discounts right up front. And now, you get the Autoplex promise, too. You'll never pay too much or buy the wrong car. The Autoplex price promise means you get 100% refunded if you find a better deal, even after the sale. And if you don't like your car after you buy it, just bring it back. We promise to take care of you, in writing. Autoplex One Price Savings means a new Ford Escape is just $19,599 right now. With over 20 acres of America's top brands, you save on the lot or online at BormanAutoplex.com. Based on Urban Science Report of 2015 total sales, see dealer for promise details, subject to change or expire. FT24482, after all factory rebates and dealer discounts from MSRP, TNL, and 299 dealer transfer fee extra, valid February 15, 2016. Factory offers can change without notice.
Honey, I'm really worried about our retirement funds.
Oh, me too. We lost so much value in the recession and the stock market. I'm worried we won't have enough to retire.
Jim next door told me that he had set up a new kind of IRA with the Gold Silver Group. He said how simple and safe it was. It's a private storage IRA, and we could have real gold and silver in our hands.
Really? You mean we can actually see it and touch it?
Absolutely. Jim said we could have all the benefits of an IRA to help build our retirement income. Bottom line, we would own a real tangible asset, and we would have the security of knowing we're protected no matter what the economy does. What do you think?
I think we need to find out how to get our own private storage IRA. We need to call the Gold Silver Group right now.
Are you ready to protect your future? Call 800-295-6803 now to find out how easy and safe it is to set up a private storage IRA with Gold Silver Group and find out how you can qualify for up to $700 in free silver. All transactions are privately delivered and fully insured. Please call us now. 800-295-6803. 800-295-6803.
Las Cruces with Kelly O'Connell. He has to drive down Valley, too.
It's 6:53 on the 18th. It's about 50 degrees outside. All right, so I've got some amazing news for you. They want to bring, as an answer to the constitutional crisis with Scalia dying on the Supreme Court, they want to bring back Sandra O'Connor for 1 or 2 years. Now, she's 86, is apparently in her right mind, has been retired since, 10 years or whatever. Isn't that amazing? Then they say, well, she could easily serve a year or two more. Well, in my opinion, you know, the clock's ticking on her too. So what if you bring her in there and the stress kills her after 3 months and then you're back in the same place? All right. So there's a lot of people out there. I would say for people that are serious Christians in this race, that there are a lot of people who are serious Christians are putting their hopes on Ted Cruz. Now, is his type of Christianity radical? Here's a conversation with his father, who's the number one influence on him, and Pat Robertson. And basically, the dad of Cruz said, I prophesied over him. In so many words, it sounds like he says from a young man, he said, you are sent here to change the world, basically. Check this out.
Well, he's here with us. He learned lessons.
This is Pat Robertson, and he's getting pretty old and crusty himself, speaking of which.
In Cuba. Lessons that America must listen to. It's a book called A Time for Action. You can get it where books are sold. And Rafael Cruz, thank you so much for being with us.
It's so great to be with you. God bless you.
Thank you. You are listed as an evangelist, but as I read your story, you actually ran a company that analyzed seismic data for oil companies. And you apparently have an affinity for mathematics. Is that right?
That is right. I was in oil and gas exploration for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that company basically went broke, and that's what God used to get me into the ministry.
Why? All right, you were in Cuba. What was going on when Batista was head of Cuba?
Well, it was a military dictatorship, and it was very brutal. They killed over 20,000 dissidents. Normally, the typical thing is they will arrest somebody, and 2-3 days later, they would appear dead on the streets.
Mm.
That was what sparked a revolution, started in the high schools and the universities. There was this young, charismatic leader talking about hope and change.
The same thing as Obama, hope and change?
His name was Fidel Castro.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all followed him. We didn't know any better.
Well, you didn't think of him as a Russian, did you?
No, nobody knew he was a communist. He presented himself as a liberator.
Mm. Well, how did we all get so fooled by him? I mean, apparently, in your book, you point out that he'd been trained in Russia.
But we didn't know that. We didn't know that. I came to the U.S. legally on a student visa in 1957. I had been in prison and tortured because of the revolution, but I was able to get out of Cuba and come to this wonderful country. And then I went back in 59. I was only there 3 weeks, and I saw then this man attacking private property, confiscating private property, attacking freedom of religion, attacking freedom of the press. I got out of there as quickly as I could.
Why didn't the Cuban people stop him?
Well, the Cuban people were fooled. Mm-hmm. And basically what he did is he created, basically, so many people are fooled with communism about thinking that it's all, everybody's the same. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
You have three different classes.
Right.
Of course, they confiscate all the wealth, which is controlled by the Communist Party. So they all have all the riches. And then they create the army. They are the enforcers.
Mm-hmm.
And they also exploit the people with things like selling things in the underground and so on and so forth. And then the people, I would say, yes, they are equal. They're all equally starved.
Equally.
All right. We're just about done with the first hour, but I want to come back. I want you to hear conversation that this father of Cruz has with Pat Robertson. All right. Oh, by the way, I got a lot of feedback yesterday that you like James Duane, and I'll have his contact information. People wanted his contact information. What a very interesting guy he is. And so we're going to come back, and I'm going to tell you, I remember I said I was going to read a book, and then I was going to do a book report on Monday or whatever. I did read a book, but I've just been so busy this week. It's been really kind of impossible to get to it. But it seems like there's one other thing I wanted to tell you before the break. It appears the judge who gave out the death certificate for Scalia violated the law. What a numbskull, huh? Anyway, all of this controversy could have been avoided with an autopsy. 659 Kelly O'Connell AM, Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450. And I have the texter 805-6180.
Sweeping past the minutes of its fate. And the world is like an apple, whirling silently in space. Like the circle that you find in the windmills of your mind. Keep the jingle in your pocket, put the jangle in your head. Why did summer go so quickly? Was it something that you said? Love, let's walk along the shore and leave their footprints in the sand. But the sound of just the fingers of your hand, pictures hanging in a hallway, and the fragments of the song. I remember the names and places, but the room that they belong.
Starting the day the right way with Kelly O'Connell and AM Las Cruces on KOBE. CBS.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setatani. Vice President Biden's dropping hints about potential Supreme Court nominees. CBS News White House correspondent Pam Colter.
The White House is holding its short or long list of candidates close to the vest, but Vice President Joe Biden said it won't be the most liberal jurist out there. Speaking to Minnesota Public Radio, he suggested the choice may be someone Republicans find it hard to criticize.
Theology, only to let you know what it appears. Ted Cruz, who's the number two, we haven't spent a lot of time focusing on Cruz. We've heard Donna and her undying devotion. Donna, you know, I think after we had the conversation in which you said that Ted Cruz was a statesman and I said he was a politician, and then he gets involved in spreading this falsehood about Carson. You've written me a letter, a detailed letter that was a couple pages long, you know, 3-4 pages long, and criticizing me for my attitude towards you, not allowing you to speak, et cetera, and also for criticizing Cruz, and you list a whole bunch of his bona fides and Rubio and stuff. I think it would have been nice if you had called up and said, Kelly, I stand corrected. Ted Cruz is another politician, but I don't suspect that's going to happen in this century. All right, so here is Ted Cruz's dad preaching on. This is very short, so don't get freaked out. About a minute and a half, preaching on the seven mountains of dominionism, dominion theology, the idea that the Christian church goes in and takes over the government. And here's a question. If you're opposed to liberals who are a true minority, true liberalism is a minority in this country, how they get power and keep power is they get involved in the government and they take over positions like you see in this county. Hey, Billy Garrett, Wayne Hancock taking over government and doing things against the, you know, they don't have popular support. So even when people vote against the ideas, they use the mechanism of government to do what they want to do, and then they consider themselves Einsteins of politics. You've got the same thing on the you know, city council. Do you think that dominionists, who obviously could claim that 70% of the people back them, should do the same thing, get in and make the law Christian? Just a question. Here's Cruz's pops. Raphael.
We heard that Washington Jefferson was trying to say that the church should not have an influence upon every area of society. And indeed, we should have an influence upon arts and entertainment, upon media, upon sports, upon education, upon business, upon God. As a matter of fact, the Word of God tells us, he who justifies the wicked, or he that condemns the just, both of them are an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 17:15. Now let me ask you something. If you remain silent, are you not justifying the wicked? Silence is not an option. But the problem is, too many Christians say, politics is a dirty business. I don't want any part of it. Proverbs 29:2, we heard it earlier today. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, people mourn. And there has been a lot of mourning in America over the last 5 years. But there's another verse of scripture that gives me a lot of courage and a lot of encouragement. And that is Psalm 30, verse 5. It says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And morning is coming to America. Morning is coming to America.
All right, here's a little bit more on Seven Mountains Dominionism, and this is from a pastor by the name of Jim Garlow, who was involved in Newt Gingrich Renewing America Leadership. Check this out, and this is just another brief one, but just to introduce you to these seven mountains.
Identify the seven spheres of influence. Like I said, I'm not the one that came up with this. This has been given by God for decades now, but the seven spheres of influence are the home, the church, civil government, business, which includes technology, arts and entertainment, which includes professional sports, education, and the last one is media. Those seven cultural mountains shape a nation. We're the ones called to disciple the nation, and we disciple the nations through those seven spheres of influence. How do we do that? Very practical and very simple. Number one, identify the key people in a given community. Let's say San Diego. We've identified the people across the top levels of leadership in those seven spheres of influence and brought them together. And the reason we bring them together is so that they can cross-pollinate each other, encourage each other, and stand together. So when one of them is severely tested in standing for the truth of the gospel, others will defend them. The second component, identify young movers and shakers at the bottom of that mountain, young people who can be trusted with the kind of authority, and fast-track them up the mountain. Find people who are pure in spirit, who are not in it for gain, who will walk in purity, who will walk in humility, that are young but can understand their calling in life is not fame and gain, and then bring them into leadership connection with those at the top of the mountain to bring them to spheres of influence where they live out Jesus' life in influencing those seven mountains. The third component of it is to identify the people who are already in leadership who are not standing for the truth of Christ, who stand against the truth of Christ, and bring armies of people who are willing to fast and pray and target them, that God will touch their heart and either remove them from influence or change their heart to draw them in to conformity with the ways of God.
All right, so that is that's dominion theology, and this is one more thing about the founders. We're going to take a break and then come back and talk to people from the Spanish market. How exciting. But this is a guy that is claiming that the founders were dominionists, and so Ted Cruz claims to be, undoubtedly, and his father claims to be picking up on this trail. So we'll listen to this just a little bit. Rick Joyner of the Oak Initiative.
To a large degree, our nation, America, was built on by those who held to dominion theology. Most of the founding fathers that were devoted Christians, this was really, you would have to call them dominionists. Now, it drove them to try to build and establish a government that was built on biblical principles, because they really thought they're building the kingdom of God here. Now, I don't believe America's the kingdom of God. I don't believe it ever will be. It's not the New Jerusalem. But I believe we have a purpose, like many nations do. We have a specific purpose, and especially one in helping prepare the way for the Lord. I just don't believe his dominion can come to the earth until he comes. And I have always believed that, and I hold to that. And that's the one defining point of a dominionist to me, that where you can cross over into some areas that are not good and do not have good results. And I think some of the things that manifested later through our government and, you know, in America, some of the really foul things that happened had their roots in the false teaching that was included in the dominion theology, the wrong teachings that really went awry. And I'm talking about some aspects of the manifest destiny that was used to almost try to eradicate the Native Americans. And that was rooted, some of that was rooted in dominion theology. And, you know, there are some secular people, secular reporters who've studied this and looked at that, and they see the connection and they're terrified by it. And they're wondering if this presidential candidate or is influenced by this kind of thinking, is this what we're going to get? And listen, as a Christian, I would be alarmed by some of that.
All right, folks, so that is where Ted Cruz is coming from. He's a dominionist. His father's a dominionist. You heard about the Seven Mountains theory. We're going to take a break and come back and talk to Las Cruces Spanish Market, folks. It's not a place to shop, by the way. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 and 805-61802. Texton will be right back.
after all that I've done.
Hey, hold on there.
You won't believe me. All you will see is a girl you once knew, although she's dressed up to the nines.
Now get the local buzz, news from Las Cruces and the region on KOBE, AM 1450.
The Pope addressed over 250,000 people yesterday during his mass that was part of his visit to Juarez. About 28,000 people in El Paso's Sun Bowl watched the televised mass staged by the El Paso Diocese. The Pope highlighted the troubles of immigrants from Central America and Mexico who flee their homes because of violence and face dangers along their journeys. The Pope also blessed El Paso refugees and others at a border arriving near the Juarez mass site earlier in the day. It was a quick trip. The Pope flew in at 10 a.m. yesterday and left following the mass in the evening. 17-year-olds would be able to vote in primary elections under a bill sent to Governor Susana Martinez. The measure would allow 17-year-olds to vote in the primary if they will turn 18 before the general election. Las Cruces Representative Jeff Steinborn has sponsored the bill for the last 3 years. Senator Mark Morris says the state constitution actually is so outdated that it lists the voting age as 21, even though 18-year-olds have been voting in New Mexico for more than 40 years. Steinborn says he's optimistic that Martinez will sign the bill into law. Police are looking for the man suspected in Monday's attempted armed robbery of a Wendy's in Las Cruces. A man believed to be armed with a handgun walked into the Wendy's on Walton, threatened a store employee, and demanded cash. The employee screamed and scared off the suspect. He was seen leaving the restaurant in a blue Dodge Durango. He's said to be white or Hispanic, around 6 feet tall with an athletic build. He was wearing a baseball cap, sunglasses, and a red hoodie. Anyone with information can call Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-TIPS. State lawmakers agreed on a 2017 spending plan yesterday after approving a measure to use millions of unspent dollars from dozens of state accounts to offset lower projected revenues. The $6.2 billion budget cuts about 2% of spending from most state agencies, with higher reductions for community colleges and universities. The state will spend $2.75 billion for public education, an increase of about $7 million. Spending on Medicaid would reach $928 million, and the Department of Corrections and Public Safety would receive small increases. For the Bravo Mike Radio Network, I'm Vanessa Dobovich.
You're invited to the Las Cruces Convention Center on Saturday, February 27th, to witness the convergence of technology.
Are you looking for a truly unique piece of art for your home or as a gift for a special loved one? Visit Las Cruces Spanish Market at Hotel Encanto, Saturday, February 20th and Sunday, February 21st. Spanish Market features the most unique art form in the world, representing over 400 years of Hispanic artistry in New Mexico. Unlike mass-produced material, all works are handmade, authentic expression of living Spanish colonial history. Find out more about Las Cruces Spanish Market at www.spanishcolonial.org. Swing your way to $10,000. The annual O'Blarney Golf Scramble is back with a cash raffle. Win $10,000. Buy a $10 raffle ticket or get in on the three for $25 deal. The O'Blarney Golf Scramble is Thursday, March 10th, but you can get your raffle ticket anytime by calling 575-526-2517 or visit www.oblarneyscramble.com.
Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this?
Benefit Holy Cross
Catholic. Yeah, Kelly, promise.
Troy will take place.
Hey, what's up?
And you don't need we're up.
Well, I was curious to
we're on the
you
air.
Have any discussion about that.
We're on the air.
Here in the
with Kelly O'Connor.
Thomas. We're on the air. What's your point?
Well, I think that both your caller, I think her name was Karen.
Yes.
And then you're talking about Ted Cruz.
Yes.
The issue becomes at some point in a relational sort of mindset, temperament. And when you start talking about dominion theology, the very word seems to evoke some sort of coercion. I would ask Ted Cruz, his dad Raul, the minister, or any like-minded person to review the New Testament and see whether or not, for example, Jesus of Nazareth, whom they say they all follow, had that sort of temperament. Because when faced with political question, for example, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's, you find the temperament of Jesus not to be one of dominion, but rather cooperation. And in no sense coercion. I think you mentioned she might have written you a letter, kind of denouncing you for not allowing her, time to talk and stuff. As a listener, she comes across, as does Ted Cruz, rather strident. and wanting to dominate. And that's the concept that people, I think, take away from this idea of dominion theology.
Well, since we're talking about the Bible, is it the Proverbs that says it's better to live on the corner of a roof than with a contentious woman in a house? But I just found that she called up, and when she started talking and was offended if I tried to interrupt her at all. And I mean, you know, this show is premised on interaction. It's people don't get to call up and give their screed or their oratory from Hamlet or whatever. There's got to be back and forth. And so,
just as a listener, and I've heard her call in a time or two, actually more than that.
Yeah.
And just as a listener, my comment would be she comes across strident in a strident fashion.
Well, you know, she comes.
She doesn't recognize that, realize maybe she won't even accept that.
I'm sure she
would. If we're not willing to accept criticism, for example, Ted Cruz, I think he has some great points. I think Ted Cruz is an incredibly intelligent individual. But, you know, if somebody could coach him and say, listen, you know, that strident sort of attitude last night in the town hall on CNN, you could, I think, see the difference between Rubio and Cruz in that Rubio is described as charming and Cruz as contentious.
And that's, yeah, I would agree with you 100% there.
I can do a temperament.
Donna comes across to me as a person who's extraordinarily self-righteous and is always right. And she wanted her place at the table, but she doesn't want to wait in line. And all of her criticisms are ridiculous. The only reason I hung up on her repeatedly is because she would not allow herself to be interrupted. I mean, I just can't tell you how irritating that is trying to run a talk show.
As I said before, the luxury that a lot of talk show hosts that you have that you do not, they have very, very well-trained screeners.
Screeners. I don't have a screener. Yeah, I barely have a screen. But thanks, Thomas.
Well, have a good day.
You too. All right. Thanks for the call. The Kelly Connor Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Ken.
Ken, what's going on?
I had an opportunity yesterday to listen to your program with Professor Duane.
Yes.
And I find that gentleman extremely impressive, and he made a proclamation of his faith prior to and at the end of his lecture at the university. I thought that was very impressive.
He is one of the most impressive people I've ever met, and I didn't mention this on the show, but he was cum laude out of Harvard, philosophy undergrad, and then law, cum laude, law. He's a brilliant guy, and he's just got a ton of information, but, you know, he's a very entertaining person. He's not a drudge to listen to, and there's just so many topics that he can go off on. And I have been he's a good friend of mine. I've been asking him for years to come on the show, and he's always kind of poo-pooed it. And then I finally kind of tricked him to coming on because he's just written this book. So, but, he's a wonderful person. I asked him, why don't you come on once a month? And he's thinking about it.
Oh, that would just be phenomenal. I think your listener audience would just double in size, primarily because I've had an opportunity to listen to a lot of professors in my life. None of them have had the opportunity nor the ability to speak as rapidly and as pronounced as he did in his lecture. It just captures your attention. You want to listen to every word that he says.
Yeah, well, he was a national debate champion in high school before he went in. He sounds like an auctioneer to me. He's so fast.
But he pronounces his words. He knows the subject matter. And the way he captures the audience, he gets them to participate. Gosh, I just thought it was phenomenal. I wish all professors at any institution would have that ability.
No, and in addition, he's very conservative, but I introduced him, he's urbane, he's witty, but he has a humanitarian outlook. He is an art person, and I find people who have a background in the arts to be, I don't know, more interesting to listen to because they haven't developed their ideas in just one area. Usually, you know, they tend to have more of a developed personality. And I think that's what life used to be like. You know, there used to be a lot more people like that.
One last question before I let you go.
Yeah.
I've listened to your program on numerous occasions. One of the questions that I had is, whatever happened to Mike, the barking dog caller?
he might have gone barking mad.
Because you know, he had some strange information, and he doesn't call in anymore.
He was interesting. As far as I could tell, a kinist that he believed that your family should stay together. He was kind of a racist. He was an Aryan, not really an Aryan nation, but an Aryanist. So, but he's more than welcome to call back, as is Patty, who used to call up and talk about proving stuff on Facebook and then start crying and then slam the phone down. That was her diva, you know, throw down the mic move. So all these people are welcome to come on if they just let me squeeze a question in occasionally, you know.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Have a good day. Folks, we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk to the Spanish market folks. And I've been keeping them waiting here. We'll be right back. 745 Kelly O'Connor Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523, 1450, and 805-6, 180. You're going to be excited. It is a market. I've been updated on this, and they're doing real art, real Mexican art. It's exciting. We'll be right back.
Here's your Las Cruces and Southern New Mexico forecast on AM 1450 KOBE.
In today's weather forecast, mostly sunny skies. High should hit about 80 today. A little breezy this afternoon. Winds out of the south, gusts around 20 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Our low will get down to 48 with some light southwest winds throughout the night. And Friday, we're looking at a partly sunny day, high of around 79 degrees. That's the buzz on weather on KOBE 1450.
I was driving home from work.
I got off the bus on my way home from work.
I drive the same way every day.
I get off the same stop every day.
Driving through the intersection.
Walking through the intersection.
I didn't even see her.
I didn't even see him.
And it was too late. When you're walking.
When you're driving.
Look for me. Drivers, look for pedestrians. Pedestrians, look for drivers.
Sponsored by NMDOT and aired in cooperation with the NMBA and this station.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
The Baton Memorial Death March registration is now open. More than 6,000 participants from all over the world register for the 26.2-mile course every year at BatonMarch.com. The March 20th event, held on White Sands Missile Range in New Mexico, honors the World War II baton survivors. On March 20th, 2016, who will you march for? Baton Memorial Death March, sponsored by Bravo Mike Communications. Visit BatonMarch.com for more information.
You're listening to AM Las Cruces with Kelly O'Connor. On KOBE, there's no better place to be.
All right, it's Kelly back here, 748, and I've got members of the Las Cruces Spanish Market. They're promoting their stuff, but it's and they're selling art, but it's also education and art. And we have here Mr. David Setford, British derivative, now living in the United States. And good morning to you, David. How's it going? I don't know if you're if people can hear you through that mic. I think there's something wrong with that mic. You want to share that?
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. This is exciting.
All right. Yeah. We're
there. We go.
We're live.
live. And so, all right, so I'm looking at a poster here, and it's got a beautiful, I guess it's
San Rafael.
Seraphim. It's a little angel there, and he's holding a fish. And
it's actually Saint Raphael.
Saint Raphael, who could be a seraphim as well, I guess.
He could.
We could have another theological debate here. You guys, this is the second annual Spanish Colonial Arts Society presentation. So you're at the Hotel Encanto for a couple of days?
Yeah, we are. Second time we're in Las Cruces. We're actually been in existence, the Spanish Colonial Arts Society, since 1926. We're the guys that run the big Spanish market up in Santa Fe.
Wow.
These are the New Mexican artists that have been following the tradition that came up from Spain through Mexico and up the Camino Real through New Mexico over 400 years ago. These traditions are part of what made New Mexico a tourist hotspot in the early 20th century.
When we think of Kalo and we think of, if that's proper pronunciation of her name, and we think of other famous artists that have been in this area, were they kind of around?
Frida Kahlo was Mexican.
She came here, didn't she?
She spent some time in Mexico. Yeah, absolutely. But these are New Mexican artists with a New Mexican tradition.
Yeah.
Though that tradition did come through Mexico, this has been alive and kicking in this state.
How do you differentiate between your art and the typical art that you would run into in a little gallery? What's the difference for people to kind of whet their appetite?
You go, Jerry.
Basically, what we're doing is it's the art of the Santero or the Spanish colonial. So we're doing bultos, santos, things that were the type of art that was here 400 years ago, which was basically church art.
Okay.
Because they were the only people that had money.
Is it the art of the saint, the santo?
The santero, okay. yes.
All right, santero.
Well, what you're looking at there was called a bulto, and it's a three-dimensional, like a statue.
And would it be an icon?
Yes, okay. They're basically icons, yes, definitely.
But you don't typically see an icon holding a fish.
Well, San Rafael has his own story. All these saints have their own little stories and their own places in New Mexico.
And their application, their area of specialty.
Yes.
And okay, so we have got here also a Jerry Montoya, as we just talked to, and Margie Magalnik. Margie, why don't you tell folks about yourself a little bit? And belly up to the mic there. Hold on. Don't grab that.
I'm very proud to be the
director. Get up to the mic. Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Very proud to be the market director of a market that has been in existence, going to be 65 years up in Santa Fe. We're very proud to have this for the second year in Las Cruces. And our footprint has been going around the state a little more, too. We're in Albuquerque as well for a third year for our winter market. So we do right now three markets a year.
Fantastic. And how long are you guys in town for?
This market will be this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the Hotel Encanto, taking up the entire first floor, both ballrooms, music in the lobby, demonstrations. We have lectures going on both Saturday and Sunday. One from a local professor here, Dr. Zora. Thank you. I have a hard time with her name, as people have a hard time with mine. Excuse me. We also have one of our market artists talking about tin and his long longevity in his family with the Delgado family. That's known very much for reviving providing this art form in tin work. And then we have our curator from the Museum of Spanish Colonial Art, Robin Farrell Gavin, talking about Chimayo.
Which is?
Chimayo, the church up in Chimayo, a sanctuario that's been around a long time in the society. In fact, I think the development of the society, I'll let David talk more about that.
Well, let's take a little break here and we'll be right back. Got to have a little advertisement here. We'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, and we're talking to the folks from Las Cruces Spanish Market. They're traveling down from the north to give us some enlightenment. We'll be right back at 7:54 on the button.
Let's go outside. Let's go live. Let's go explore everything life has to offer with amazing deals on some of your favorite Toyota models. Get behind the wheel of a Camry,
with an aggressive front grille, available razor-sharp LED headlights, and stylish interior, a bold Camry will make you want to get out there and go. Right now, get $1,500 cash back on Camry. Or get 0% APR financing for 60 months, $1,667 per thousand borrowed due at signing, plus $1,000 bonus cash on Camry. Let's go visit your local dealer or Toyota.com today. Toyota, let's go places.
APR approved credit from Toyota Financial Services. Bonus cash from TFS and qualified finance. Contracts only must be applied to the transaction. Does not include college grad or military rebate. Offers may vary by region. See participating dealer for details. Offers end 2/29/16.
Visit Vescovo Toyota, home of the Vescovo Value. For more information, please log on to Toyota.com.
It's time again for the largest spring festival in Southern New Mexico. Spring
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-436-0169 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-436-0169 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-436-0169. That's 1-800-436-0169. Again, 1-800-436-0169.
AM Las Cruces with Kelly O'Connell. He has to drive down Valley, too.
Okay, so we've got the Las Cruces Spanish Market folks here, and Jerry Montoya was going to explain exactly when people come into the hotel Encanto, what are they going to see?
Well, they're going to see a lot of art of the Santero, of the Northern Santero. We're talking about saints and everything that goes with it, like tin work, furniture, weaving, you name it. You know, it's all in Gulf Stream in the same. Yes.
And is it furniture?
Yes. Yes.
And so weaving, so like tapestries and tin work.
It's all from the Spanish colonial era, and it's all done naturally. Everything is done by hand. We don't go out and buy. This is all made from the land.
It sounds expensive.
In a sense, it is, but there's items from $25 to whatever.
David?
Many of these artists, they make their living. They make their living doing this, so you know, they really...
So they have the right to charge.
So they have the right to charge. But we can buy things from under $100 all the way up to $2,000 or $3,000.
So you don't have to be rich to come down there and pick some up?
Absolutely not. I'm not rich. I always buy really nice small tablets or
just,
pieces of
just
weaving.
Just being there and talking to the artist and the history, that's what we're about.
And though these artists are mainly from Northern New Mexico, this is a tradition that used to cover the whole of New Mexico. So it really does belong to the whole state, not just Northern New Mexico.
Well, right. The piece that you have here is beautiful. And Maggie, you had a point?
I just wanted to say, please come down to the Hotel Encanto. We're open from 10 to 6 on Saturday and 10 to 5 on Sunday. Tickets are very inexpensive, $6,000 individual, and for two people coming in together, it's $10.
Can I get in for free? Oh, thank God I asked that on the air.
We've got some tickets for you to give away as well.
Yes, well, yeah, I'll take the tickets and I'll give them away tomorrow. Thanks for listening in, folks. Thanks for coming on the show, Las Cruces Spanish Market people. And I'll tout this tomorrow as well. Folks, we're about out of time here. And so tomorrow I'm going to tell you everything that I left unsaid today, which is exciting, and including that book I just read. 7:59, Kelly O'Connell, here to chat with a little Madonna, Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, and have a great day. Meet you back in 22 hours. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Ciao.
I have to change.
looking out of the window, staying out of the sun. So I chose freedom, running around, trying everything new, but nothing impressed me at all. I never expected it to.
The Right Way with Kelly O'Connell and AM Las Cruces on KOBE.